chapter 119 and verse 165. And we're just going to read that one verse to start. One of my favorite verses, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Psalm 119, verse 165. Here's what it says. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'll read it again. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into the message we have for you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for church. Thank you for the good attendance this morning. I pray that you would then, with the attendance, help us to obey you, to help pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us to see you do a work in our lives. And I pray that you would do that work today as we look to have nothing to be offended, Lord, to be nothing offended by. And I pray that you'd help us to grow in this area. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be
we allow into our lives that will beset us or that will offend us, that will keep us from going forward for God. And the way to avoid this, as we'll sing just a little bit, is to love God's law. It doesn't mean that you'll have no pain and no heartbreak, because we will have pain. We will have heartbreak. And the truth is that there will be, though, if we do apply the scriptures, if we do love God's law,
I don't have that, so this is all we got. Yep, sorry. Okay. It should be obvious that the things that offend us and weigh us down are not good for us. Right? I mean, we should say as Christians, they're not good, but here's the problem. We like them. This is the problem. They're not good for us, but we like them. And if we're not careful, our flesh will deceive ourselves and say, hey, listen, yes, it's not good for us, but it's not going to ruin you. My besetting sin physically, among many other things, is Lappert's ice cream. That's the weight that offends me in my flesh. In a sense, but at the same time, I love it. I do. It's a great stuff. It's amazing stuff. I had some last night, I promise you. And I loved it, but physically, it's a besetting thing. It's a weight. It becomes a weight that slows me up. And spiritually, it's the same thing. There are things that we know that aren't good for us, but we love them. And we think, as I thought last night, it's just one ice cream cone. It's just one scoop. Okay, we'll have two. We'll have two scoops. That's what I had, two scoops. And we think that, yeah, well, it's not the big deal. I'm not going to gain 5 pounds from this, right? Maybe not, maybe. And I'll work out. Says it's on. All right, guys. Just for backup. All right? Just in case. Can you guys hear me out there? All right. Sorry about that. We got an overflow. They can't hear. They're angry. They're offended. All right? And they can't hear the message to help them get over that offense. All right? So they're in trouble. We're sorry, guys. We'll work on this. We'll help you. But no, I began to think about this, and I began to realize, you know what? When we get offended, and we get upset about stuff, and every little thing that happens we get mad about, that keeps us from growing. That, in itself, hinders us. And I believe it's really important that we as Christians that offend us correctly and biblically so that it doesn't hinder us from growing. And so, in fact, I will say this. You cannot grow spiritually if you're offended. And so this is a besetting problem. This is a weight that becomes into our life. And we need to be very careful about this. We need to make sure that we deal with this as Christians appropriately, because this can really make us get into trouble. You cannot grow spiritually if you're offended. Isn't that crazy to think about? I mean, how many times do we get offended? There's times, I'll be honest, when I'm driving in my vehicle and there are things that people do in their vehicle in relation to my vehicle on the road that don't make me happy. What are you doing? The worst for me is these mergers. Like, figure it out already. You know, it's like, what are you doing? And the one that really gets me, we drive to Kalaheo a lot. And Kalo, we live in Puhi, so we're driving down there almost 4 or 5 times a week. We're driving to Kaloa and Kalaheo. Kids have activities there. And there's, right after Halfway Bridge, there's this two-lane section that comes into one lane. Here's the problem with this. Most everybody gets in the one lane. Right? They get in the lane. We're going because we know that the person that goes around on the outside is going to slow everybody else up. But they're trying to get ahead by that 30 seconds, you know? And it happens. Happens all the time. I'm in my lane. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm focused on just getting past the bottleneck because, and then the other lane's open, and then somebody rips ahead of everybody, blinker on, boom, pulls in, and it stops the whole thing. We were moving slowly, but we were moving, and now we're all stopped. I am offended. And in that moment, I'm also in the flesh. I'm not growing spiritually. And this is a problem for us. We need to address this. We need to look at this. We need to learn to die to self. And this is all connected to our pride. You know why it's connected to our pride? Because I think I deserve to keep moving forward in my lane. And this guy needs to get in his place. I think I deserve to go first because I was here first. And that's our pride. And we're offended. And it's life. It happens in all areas of life. It happens with family. It happens sometimes even in church if we're not careful. So we need to make sure that we are addressing this area of pride in our life, and we make sure that we are not being offended to keep us from growing spiritually. Our offense is often rooted in our pride, and here's the problem with that. God resists the proud. That we're not going to grow. So, in fact, it's such an amazing, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10, Jesus is speaking of the end times. And I really think that when you look at all this stuff happening and you put it all together and start looking at it, man, we are in the end times. I mean, just for us here, we've had floods, we've had earthquakes, we've had volcanoes, there's all these different things happening in our nation, school shootings, nations rising against shooting, all this stuff, crazy stuff. The world is in turmoil, and the reason why we say that we're in the end times is because Jesus told us about the nature of the world in which we live during the end times. And this passage happens in Matthew 24, and in verse 10 of that passage, he says this about the people living in the end times. He says, "And many shall be offended and betray one another and shall hate one another." I mean, that's today's culture. Offended. Everybody's offended at everything. Everybody. Like, I'm probably being offensive to people right now. I'm offending people. Like, you know, for real. That's the way it works these days. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, just every little thing. And Christians, too. At everything. Like, man, you can't do anything without offending somebody. And so, in the last days, people will be prideful and they will be offended. So, this morning, how do you and I avoid the pitfalls of offense and pride? The very first thing in our text, Psalm 119, 165, the Bible says, "The love God's law." Here's what it says: "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." God's word tells us the truth about ourselves. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like to hear it all the time. It tells me about my own heart, which, as I said in our growth group this morning, I think is pretty. Didn't just wake up one day in jail and go, "Whoa, how did I get here?" He committed a crime, a bad crime, and got put in jail. And talking to their family, here's what they say: "He's a good person." "Oh, I believe it." yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, of course he's a good person. He's in jail. Good people go to jail. And the thing is most people proclaim, all people proclaim their own goodness. If I was to ask you this morning, do you consider yourself a good person? Most would say, "Yeah, I'm in church. Hello." You know? I am a good person. Now, we know we're sinners. Yes, yes, yes. We know we're sinners. But yeah, I get that part of me. But generally, comparing myself to other people, I'm pretty good. That's the way we think. And God's word tells us a different story. It tells us that we're sinners. In Romans chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And we want to interject here, but wait. There is some good in me. No, there's not. And I want to argue with the Bible and proclaim my own goodness and say, yeah, I am a sinner. I get that. I have that problem. But generally speaking, comparatively speaking, I'm good, right? Please? And the Bible says, no. In our flesh, there dwells no good thing. When you read Romans chapter 3, the picture is even more bleak. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. They are altogether gone out of the way. All of our righteousnesses is our filthy rags. But they're good filthy rags, right? No. And that's the picture the Bible tells. And I'll be, again, completely honest with you. I don't love that picture of me. I like the good picture of me. But that's not the picture the Bible paints. The Bible tells us to put off the old man. It's bad. It tells us to die to self. Like, die to, like not just handcuff it, kill it. It says to mortify the deeds of the body. It's bad. Have you ever had someone try to keep you in check by identifying something about you that needs fixing? I have. Every week after church, people as they walk out tell me something in the message that needed fixing. No, it's true that, no, there's people come and say, hey, you know, this is not right. And I'll tell you, my immediate, instant response to that is a bristling. Nah. And I have to stop. I have to think about what they said. Consider it. And then usually what will happen is, you know what? They're right. And then we got to repent of it, forsake it, and confess it, and get it right with God. But the reality is I don't like that. But we need accountability, don't we? We need somebody in our life to be able to tell us, hey, this is not right. There's something in your life that needs to change. That's pride. Because we don't see our own pride. We actually think it's pretty good. It's great. I'm being prideful. Look at me. And we need accountability. Again, that's why I said in growth, that's why we need church. One of the reasons why we need it is so that people can help us and hold us accountable. Says, hey, there's an area in your life where you need to change. That's not right. But we need accountability, and we rarely like it when somebody identifies a problem in our own heart. I don't like it. In fact, if we're not careful, when somebody tries to identify a problem in our heart, what happens? We get offended. I'll tell you this. There are people that are not in church today because they're offended because somebody identified something in their heart that wasn't right. Everywhere. And they got offended. And when you're offended, you can't grow spiritually. It's huge. And so, yes, I bristle. What'd you just say? No, but I've learned to actually appreciate it. I still don't love it. It's still not something like, yeah, tell me how wrong I am. Let's do a survey. Hey, you guys, let's sell anonymous comment cards. You guys can tell me everywhere I'm wrong. I love it. No, I don't love that, but I learned to appreciate it. Because I have an issue with pride. So do you. We all have issues with our pride. It's still present with us. It's a problem for us. And in our flesh, there's a part of us that needs and that wants to feel important. You are important, but there's a part of us that demands it. I like to feel important. And this feeling can get us in trouble and has gotten me in trouble. And God will allow an event, a circumstance, a person in my life to expose my pride. And again, I don't like it at first. It's not something I say, yes, it got exposed again. Woo! Looking forward to tomorrow's exposure. I don't like it. But when God is done humbling me, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Keeps me right with him. Keeps me in the fellowship with him. And we need this constantly. And honestly, if you go a couple weeks without God humbling you, you better be ready because it's coming. It's coming big too. I've learned this. And usually it's just little moments. If we learn to listen, if we learn to watch for it, we learn to identify our flesh. Every single day there's things that exposes our pride. And when we see it exposed, we got to go, God, there's my pride again. God, I'm sorry. And we learn to love God's law, and his law, when it reveals our pride, we appreciate it. We're thankful for it. We're grateful for it, and we love it. Today, I'm learning to be thankful when God exposes my pride. And by the way, we say, well, I don't need that. Guess what? You're proud. That's an evidence of pride. And everybody needs to be humble. There's no place when God says, hey, listen, you've now been a Christian for 12 years. You're in a position of leadership. You don't need to be humble. No, and you need that more. And so we need our pride exposed. It's tough, I'm telling you, it's tough. But we need it. I need it. It helps me serve God. It helps me grow. It restores my relationships. Because pride is a killer of relationships. And then again, I grow. So love God's law. Secondly, we need to humble ourselves. I don't want to offend you again. But we're prideful people. Please don't be offended. We are prideful people. As we do, we are. We're arrogant. We're cocky. We're proud. We want to think we're better than everybody else. Even as a Christian, I want to think I'm a better Christian than everybody else. And that's pride. Here's why our church is best, right? I get it. Here's why I'm better than you. As a Christian. Guess what that is? Pride. It is. It's crazy, but it is. We need to identify this, and so we need to humble ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Humility begins by placing ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's what the Bible says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's where humility begins. It's a submission to God. Think about it. What happened to Satan? when he exalted himself in pride above God. He was exposed and rejected with pride. Pride is exalting ourselves above God. Now, again, I would tell you as Christians, most of us wouldn't say, yeah, today I'm exalting myself above God, right? We wouldn't word it that way. But we ignore his word. We lean on our own understanding. We trust in our own wisdom all the time. And that is not humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You see, in our flesh doesn't want God in our life. Guess who wants to run your life in your flesh? Your flesh, you. You want to drive. You want to be the one in control. And plenty of people, don't misunderstand me, plenty of people want God in their life, but they want him for his positives. Like, they want him for the miracles. They want him for they want to heal the sick. They want God to be able to bless their life. They want God to make them wealthy. That's what they want God for. But the actual control of the decisions that they make day in and day out, no, I'll take care of that, God. I'll make the decisions. You take care of the blessing. Deal? And God says, no deal. No deal. He's got to be in control. And again, this is tough. Our flesh wants to control things. We want the benefits of God, but we don't want to submit to his rule and his word in our life. We want the destination that God would get us to if he was in control, but we want to be the one making the turns. If we were the one driving. You know, God and his word are really like that directions that we have now. You know, when we have our phone and we say, hey, I want to go to this place and this place. We plug in the directions and it says, hey, in 1,000 feet, turn left. In 500 feet, turn left. Turn left now. Now. Oh, recalculate. That's how. You're right. Make the next U-turn. That's how God is. The problem is when we fail to follow his directions, we get lost and car wrecked, life wrecked, and then we mess it up, and it's a problem. And what we've got to do is we've got to shorten the leash on our pride. Once we miss that turn, we do need to recalculate. Say, oh no, my pride was exposed. I missed God's turn for my life. I need to get right back on track. But what happens, sadly, is we go and we just kind of turn it off. Say, you know what, I think I know. I'm going to try here, and we're going to go down here a little further. Next thing you know, we're completely lost. And car wrecked. So we need to be humble, which is submitting ourselves under the mighty hand of God and his direction for our life. Pride says, I will find my own way. I'll follow my heart. I will do what I think is best. And you'll get lost. So we need to humble ourselves and get our flesh out of the way, die to self, submit to God, yield to the Spirit. And this is important when it comes to offenses. Being offended. Let God control your interactions and, yes, your reactions to situations in life. Because how we respond is important. And he's told us how to respond. Be kind. Be loving. He's told us. And our job is not to do what our flesh wants, because honestly, my flesh wants to respond and give him a piece of my mind. Get my pound of flesh. But that's my flesh. And God says, no. Render not evil for evil, but counterwise blessing. Well, oh. And yeah, our flesh doesn't like that. So the next time somebody does something offensive, don't be offended. Respond with blessing, with love. And that's only possible by the Spirit of God. It's only possible by the Spirit of God. But if you'll yield to him, He'll direct. He'll guide. Because once you get offended, you stop growing. This is important for us as Christians. We want to grow in our Christian life. If you're not growing, you're backsliding. We don't want that. So we cannot be offended. So we forgive, we love, we return blessing, even to our enemies. And then one final thing is to seek peace. You know, in Psalm 119, verse 165, the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Truth is, I think if I was to do a survey here today, I think we'd all say, "I want peace." That seems to be the default beauty pageant answer, isn't it? What would you? I would like world peace. We all do. You know, we all want to have peace in our world. We want to have peace in our neighborhood. We want to have peace in our marriage. We want to have peace in our family. We want peace. We need peace. But so often we can't find it. But if we love God's law and what it says about my heart, what it says about His word, what it says about where I need to lean not into my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. If I do that, then I will find great peace. So seek peace. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I'm not saying we don't speak the truth. I'm not saying we don't stand for right. But seek peace. Pursue it. Love God's law. Love His word. Humble ourselves. And doing that will keep us growing for God. You know, I'm not saying that the things that people said and do are not unfair. Most of the time they are. They're unfair. They're wrong. And truth is, if in our flesh, I wouldn't blame you for being offended. But being offended doesn't help you spiritually. In fact, it hurts you spiritually. And I would say, "Hey man, I'm offended right along with you. That was bad." Doesn't help me spiritually either. So we need to learn to forgive, to love God's word, to then humble ourselves, and to then seek peace so that we can keep growing for God. I hope that we're challenged today. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. God, I do pray now for those that are here today. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that does not know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that says, "Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. And if I was to die today, I'm not sure Jesus would save me." If you have some doubt about that, I'd like to pray for you. The Bible says we're all sinners. We looked at it earlier today. It's true. We are all sinners. Our heart is wicked. It's deceitful. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. The Bible says the wages for that wickedness and that sin is separation from God in a place called hell, but the wages of sin is death. I deserve that. We all do. And if you're here today, you say, "Pastor, I know I deserve that. I understand that, but I would like to know how to be saved from that. And I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. I'd like to pray for you." So if you're here with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd raise your hand up, I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Just raise it up. I'll see it. Anybody like that here in the auditorium? Anybody in the overflow? Say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure my sins are forgiven." Anybody like that here today? Say, "Pastor, pray for me." And then Christians, let's make sure that we are not letting our flesh rule our life. If we find ourselves getting offended, it's a good sign that we need to have an area of pride in our life removed. So God, help us to humble ourselves, to love your word, and to seek peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books and we're going to sing hymn number 10, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.